They started out sending to 9 nodes at a time, but through prune messages, so if I keep receiving a duplicate messages from you, for example, messages I've already received, I'm going to tell you, hey, stop sending me these messages. What you end up building out within your own local memory is you basically build out a, hey, for messages from these origins, so created by these origin nodes, I cannot send these messages to this set of nodes.
Scraping Bits is brought to you by the following sponsors. MEV Protocol. Maximize your ETH staking value with MEV ETH, exclusively on MEV.io. And Composable. Execute any intent on any chain, coming soon to Mantis.app. That's MANTIS.APP. And Fastlane Labs, the only MEV and intent-centric team that has a daily deodorant application rate of over 68%. GMGM everyone, my name is Digarchi, the host of Scraping Bits, and today I'm with Greg Cusack from Anza, GMGM.
Hey, how's it going?
Pretty good, pretty good. How are you, sir?
Excited, ready to go.
Just for the people that don't know who you are, who are you and what are you?
Yeah, my name is Greg Cusack. I work at Anza, specifically on the Gossip protocol. My background, I joined on, or I guess Solana Labs at the time, about a year ago. I joined straight from my PhD at the University of Colorado, working on kind of distributed systems. And so transitioned that into working on the validator.
Hell yeah. So you basically, the start of your like career outside of studying was literally just Solana.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Just jumped right in.
Wow. Okay. So what was that experience like at the Solana Foundation? What did you do? What did you learn?
Yeah. So to clarify a little bit, I worked for Solana Labs, and which then spun out Anza in December. Wow. So
it's like different things.
Yeah. So the foundation, I mean, I don't need to get into all the details of the organization, but you know, the foundation is more looking at like, you know, ecosystems and trying to grow the ecosystem. And then Solana Labs kind of has the product teams and the core developers, which the core developers, you know, working on the actual, you know, at the time, Solana Labs client now spun out to Anza. And so now Anza has the Agave client for the Solana blockchain. I started out actually interning for Solana Labs in summer 2022, the summer before I graduated, and then kind of transitioned to full-time last April. I've learned a lot. It's been, yeah, as you said, it's kind of like the first, you know, real job outside of school. And so, you know, learning kind of all the ins and outs of the tech world, I guess, you know, from maintaining a code base to, you know, working with a bigger team.
And since you've, you know, you have a background in distributed systems, what do you think Solana is in your experience? Do you think it's quite good? Has a lot of improvements to do? If so, what parts?
I think the answer to both of those are yes. You know, I do think Solana, the blockchain has been very good. And, you know, we have seen, you know, high performance in terms of, you know, transactions per second, things like that. But also there is like a ton of improvement that needs to be done. Like this is not a completed project or a blockchain at all. There is a ton of improvement that needs to be made. And I can really only speak to kind of the gossip side of things. But yeah, like, you know, as the gossip protocol is inherently non-scalable, but a hard to scale system. And so the biggest thing, at least because it's as the number of validators that get added to the network increases, the amount of traffic, the complexity is n squared. So as you add more validators, you know, you basically overload the network more and more. So the network demand becomes pretty high. And so we need to figure out a way moving forward. How do we, you know, as we add more validators or as people add more validators, how do we deal within the network limitations?
Okay, we should step back one time. Well, what actually is gossip? Let's define that first before we go into it.
Yeah, good point. Yeah, so gossip is, it's really just an algorithm to send information to other nodes or validators in this context. So basically, if you can kind of think of it as like, you know, you're back in middle school or whatever, and someone has like a rumor that's going around, you know, right. You know, John hooked up with, I don't know, Stacy or whatever. Oh, and and so how does that information propagate? You know, it's not just one person talking to another person, talking right. to another person all in one line, right? It kind of spreads from one to six people, and each of those people tell six more people. And so it kind of, it's a way to spread information in a network efficiently, basically.
Right. How can you get that rumor of Stacy being kissed out there as quick as possible?
Exactly. Yeah.
What is the solution right now for spreading that rumor?
Yeah, that's a great question. Yeah. So that is the, I don't know, the million-dollar question here is how do we do that efficiently? And there are kind of like four like key things to think about when building a gossip protocol. And so the Solana gossip protocol is built off of what are called plum trees. So plum trees are, it's just a way to send information in a network, right? In a distributed network where you have a bunch of different nodes. And so the four things to pay attention to are, you know, reliability and kind of coverage. So if I send a message out how many people in the network actually receive that message? So say there are, you know, 100 validators, for example, and I send out a message, you know, if 90% or if 90 of those 100 validators receive that message, that coverage is 90%, right? And you want to have the coverage as high as possible. The second thing is this idea of like, it's called like relative message redundancy, and it measures the overhead of the network. So the number of extra messages that are sent out in the network, right? So if I tell you, you know, yeah, John kissed Stacy, and then you tell Bob John kissed Stacy, but I also already told Bob that John kissed Stacy.
Well, that's front ran me.
Yeah, exactly. Then, you know, Bob's getting that message twice, but he doesn't need to hear it twice. He only needs to hear it once.
Yeah,
so you want to reduce the number of duplicate messages in the network.
And how do you do that? Let's go broad and then we'll go in depth.
So the third is basically, it's almost like network latency, or it's called last delivery hop or last hop delivery. Okay. And it measures the number of hops from the sender, so the origin, so me sending, you know, John kissed Stacy, and then counting the number of hops it takes to reach the last person to receive that message. So if you have, you know, 100 people in the network and everybody, one person just telling the next person, then that, you know, latency is, what is it going to be? 99 hops, right? And that's bad. So you want to reduce that as much as possible.
Okay.
And then, so like those three, reliability, you know, redundancy and latency, are seen in all types of gossip protocols. Okay. Now with a blockchain, you have to pay attention to adversaries. So that is not seen in a lot of other gossip protocols. Mm-hmm. Assume kind of everybody's cooperating. And so the last thing we want to pay attention to is we want to pay attention to stake, right? So in Solana, we treat higher stake nodes as more important because they should, I guess the idea is that if you're higher stake, you have more incentive to act nice, you know, appropriately in the network, right? You have more to lose. And so we need to be thinking about stake as we design a gossip protocol as well.
And how do you think of that though? Because if you think about stake, then it becomes a capitalistic game of, if I have a shit ton of money, I just win.
Right. Yes. And that is a very good point. And I know, I mean, I don't know. It depends how you think about it, because that really is how all these proof of stake networks, blockchains work now. Is that, if you do have more stake, you do have more say in the network. So there definitely is a trade-off there for sure.
That's tough, because if you didn't do that, then you would just spin up a shit ton of nodes anyway.
Right.
So it's like applying economics as a constraint.
Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, it's fine. But yeah, then you get to the point you're talking about where, yeah, okay, so then the rich just get richer, basically. You know, something, not richer, but have maybe more control.
Yeah, I guess like if you think of governments, print money, but then you have like private corporations that also have a shit ton of money. and banks. I guess like at scale, then it would work because everyone has a lot of money.
Right.
I haven't seen it yet, so I actually have no idea. I'm just
Yeah. It is a good philosophical question when it comes to how blockchains are designed today. In the proof of stake like area.
An infrastructure provider owning everything at the end of the day.
Right.
Okay.
So
interesting. Okay, so we have adversaries. This is the thing that isn't seen commonly. And I think in blockchain specifically, it's very interesting because that's what people are. Everyone wants to game the system to get the money because, you know, I mean, you can get a reward instantly in crypto. If you like hack someone in Web2, you get the data and you have to sell the data on the dark web and that doesn't go well. And so really you're not that rich. In crypto, you just get it instantly. So if you find a vulnerability, you just capitalize on it.
Right.
And there's always going to be that kind of adversarial mindset in any kind of environment. So what do we see now that's very adversarial in the Gossip Protocol?
I wouldn't say we're seeing like constantly seeing like people being adversaries, but one of the examples would be, so if everybody had, you know, the same say in a Gossip Protocol. So if I was, you know, and actually this has actually been a debate between On and the, or I shouldn't say a debate, but a talking point between On and some of the other clients out there like Firedancer and Syndica is, do we actually need stake to pay attention to build a Gossip Protocol? And so ours is designed where if you are higher stake, you have more incentive to participate or to act appropriately. And so this means that if you're a higher stake node, the messages you send should go to other higher stake nodes, basically. And if you are a lower staked node, your messages, the way we've designed it, should kind of propagate more randomly, because they shouldn't just be sent to the highest stake nodes because they're maybe not as important because they are lower staked. And so that's kind of how we've designed it. But it is up for, you know, debate moving forward. So,
and what are the benefits of yours versus, why did you decide to take the route of Agave? Is it Agave?
Yeah.
Why did you take that route over the non-stake weight?
That's a good question. I don't know all the intricacies as to exactly why, but I think the idea is that if you are higher staked, you have more money to pay for more hardware. So you're able to basically handle a higher amount of traffic. So your validator should be able to, you know, talk to other higher stake validators, I guess, more often than, and a lower stake validator. Maybe they don't have as much money, so they may not have as great hardware. So let's not send them as many messages because maybe they can't handle them quite as well.
But I guess even if they do have a lot of money, they might not have the hardware, right?
True.
So how do you account for that? Because that's a obvious flaw.
You mean in the sense that someone has money, but they don't pay for as the good hardware?
Yeah, maybe they like split it across multiple validators instead of like one big one.
Yeah, I think that is a good point. Honestly, off the top of my head, I'm not sure I have a good answer for that.
It's all right. Yeah. We're still in early days. We're trying to
exactly. So, think of these. But that's something to think about, though. I'm sure there's probably some thought that went into that, but I don't know off the top of my head. Yeah.
But there's the other three, one of them redundancy. How do you stop, you know, redundant? Yeah, how do you actually stop the redundant messages, though?
Yeah, so in an ideal world, you want no redundancy, right? You just want one message reaches everybody. The problem is that, you know, if you do have adversarial actors, you know, they could decide, well, anytime we receive a message, we're not going to send it to, you know, other people downstream, right? And so this is, you know, a form of an Eclipse attack, right? So if I'm receiving messages from you, and you just decide, hey, I'm not going to send them to Greg anymore, I don't even know that those messages exist. So I don't get them, right? So I don't know that I'm, you know, being eclipsed. And so we do want some redundancy. I want to also have another path in which I am receiving messages from someone else. So there is a balance here between reducing the number of duplicate messages and adversarial resistance. And so what we do is, and so to back up like a little bit, like the gossip protocol in Solana has, or I guess in the Agave client, has six types of messages and six types of protocol messages. You have your ping and pong messages. So ping and pong messages are just messages I'm sending out to just make sure nodes like are alive and actually responding and participating in the network. So if I send a ping to you and I get a pong back from you, I know that you're alive and participating. If I don't hear anything, if I send a ping to you and you don't respond, well, you're dead or you've left the network and I'm not going to send you any more messages, basically. So those are ping and pong. Then you have push messages. And push messages are, I'd say, the simplest form of message. Well, I guess maybe ping and pong are. But the simplest form of message, and any information I get, I'm just going to send it on. So this is, you want to run a gossip protocol on push messages. It's very low overhead. I get a message, I send it out to someone else. I get a message, I send it out to someone else. And then you have prune messages. And so this is the fourth type of message. A prune message is kind of how we balance that trade-off between reducing duplicates, but also maintaining some sort of redundancy to be more resistance, be more resistant to adversaries. And so a prune message just says, hey, you keep sending me messages, but I've already received them from someone else. So I'm going to tell you to stop sending me messages, if that makes sense. So that's the fourth type of message. And then the last two types of messages are pull requests and pull responses. So pull request is a type of message that says, hey, we send it out periodically and we say, hey, I'm going to reach out to some of the peers I know about, some of the other nodes in the network, and ask for information that I don't have. And now I don't know what I don't have. So I basically just say, hey, this is all the information I have. Will you guys respond to me with any information I don't have? So I send out what I do have. They respond with information I don't have. That's a pull request. And the response on that, so sending back, hey, this is the information you don't have, is a sixth type of message, which is a pull response. And so those are the six message types. And as I mentioned, yeah, pruning is really the core part of kind of the balance between, you know, high coverage, but also reducing redundancy and increasing kind of adversarial resistance as well.
Is there a way to do push messages without actually sending it to everyone?
Yep. Yeah.
Maybe like just sending it to one that sends to another. And to reduce redundancy, you can just mock them as like, but I guess if there's like 2,000 validators or something, a mocking system, but that would just be like a mutex lock and that wouldn't be too good. What are the challenges you face actually when working with redundancy with these push messages?
Yeah. So you can kind of think about it like there are two extremes in which you can design a gossip protocol with push messages. Right. You have the one extreme where any message I have, I'm going to send to everybody. And so any message I create, I'm going to send it to everybody in the network. So I send 2000, you know, if we're talking about the Solana blockchain, you know, we have about 2000 validators. So I send out 2000 messages every time I have a message. But that means also you're going to do that too. And all 2000 people are sending to everybody every single time. So yeah, that's, you know, everybody's going to get the messages, but the network overhead is insane. The processing is going to be insane. And so that's one extreme, you know, many to many or one to many. And then the other extreme is, you know, I'm just going to send to one person and you're going to send to the next person and basically just send to one person over and over and over again, all the way down. And so the goal with push messages is we want to find a certain number of messages or certain number of peers to send to at a time. And so in the Solana protocol, we send to a maximum of 9 other nodes at a time. So anytime we receive a push message or we create a message that we want to send, we are going to push it out and send it to a maximum of 9 nodes that we know about.
Are the 9 predetermined already?
No, so they... Good question. So they are, the actual selection of the 9 is a whole process in itself, but it's stake weighted basically. So it's based off of my stake as the person who has received, as the node who has received this message. And it's also based off of the stake of the origin of the message that we received. And so the origin, The origin is the node that actually created the message originally. So if Bob sends you a message and then you send it to me, I don't necessarily care about your stake sending to me for a push message. I care about Bob's stake who created that message.
Right.
And if it's a higher staked message, then I want to propagate that to higher stake nodes. If it's a lower stake message, I want to propagate that more randomly is how it's, you know, we've designed it. Yeah. And so that set of nodes we're pushing to is also rotating. So, you know, at one point we're going to send to 9 nodes, and then the next, you know, every 7.5 seconds, we actually rotate which nodes we're sending to as well. So,
If they're all high stake weight, wouldn't it always be the top 9 then?
It's not an exact, it's a probabilistic distribution. So it's not guaranteed that you're sending to the 9 highest stake nodes.
It's they just have a way higher chance, basically.
Exactly. Yeah. And it's actually also based off of my own stake. So if I have low stake and I receive a high staked message, so a high staked message meaning origin of the node that created the message. So the stake of that node that created the message, if its stake is high, but I'm a low stake node and I receive that message, I'm going to send out the message more randomly. If I'm a high stake node and I receive a high stake message, I'm going to send that out to higher stake nodes.
And what does the message contain?
So the message contains one of 14 different application level messages or message types. So for example, votes. Votes are propagated two ways in Solana. One is through Turbine, which is a whole other network system. And the second way is through gossip. And so as you vote on things, you're going to propagate them out through gossip, and you're going to receive other people's votes. And you're going to also, you're going to send them on via push to other nodes as well. So votes would be one of them. There are 14 different types. There's contact info. So contact info is just like, well, how do you even know who you're contacting? Or like, how do you even know who to reach out to? What are their IP addresses and things like that? And that's contact info.
Since votes are from gossip and Turbine, how do you deal with conflicting votes?
I honestly don't know. That's like deep in the, that's maybe more in the consensus side of things. And I'm not as familiar with that. Yeah.
Because that sounds to me like Jitter bundles and standalone transactions conflicting.
Yeah. Yeah. That could be.
That's interesting. Are you heavy on the vote side at all? Or
No, not really.
Okay, that's fine. I think I just did one with Simpdigit. So
whoever
wants to go look at that, listen to that episode.
Yeah, I should. Yeah, because I need to learn about it for sure.
Yeah, votes are interesting. Interesting. So would it also be, it's also transactions, right? The gossip?
No. Oh, they are sent directly to the validators. Yeah, to the validators, right.
Right, and then votes are just passed along the gossip. So theoretically, if let's say you were like competing with this validator and you got this vote and you were meant to pass it to some other ones, and let's say like the one you're meant to pass off to because you've calculated it is actually an enemy, an enemy validator if you're competing and you don't want to send it to them, can you just like not do that and then choose someone else and cause a redundant one? Is there actually any downsides to doing what's stopping someone from doing a redundancy on purpose?
I mean, you mean like sending a redundancy as in like I send you a message I know you already have?
Yeah, exactly.
The downside is there's no reason for me to send it to you because I'm just using bandwidth. And already know you have it, yeah, I just wouldn't send it. Granted, you could try to – go ahead.
I thought you meant to do minimum 9 though.
Oh, did I say minimum? I meant to say maximum.
Oh, maximum. No, that's what I mean. Sorry.
Okay. Yeah. Maximum 9. Yeah.
Oh, so you could do 0 theoretically.
Yeah. Right. And actually, if you actually look at the metrics, validator on average, so I don't know the exact, I don't know the median, but I actually think it's similar. The average number of nodes that a validator is sending to at once is about 2.5 to 3. I think it's 2.5 actually. So they started out sending to 9 nodes at a time, but through prune messages. So if I keep receiving a duplicate messages from you, for example, messages I've already received, I'm going to tell you, hey, stop sending me these messages. And so what you end up building out within your own, you know, local memory is you basically build out a, hey, for messages from these origins, so created by these origin nodes, I cannot send these messages to, you know, this set of nodes. So if you keep sending me duplicates, I'm going to send you a message back saying, hey, for stop messaging me for any message that has been created by origin, you know, Bob, for example. Now you can still send me messages from origin, you know, Sheila, but you should not send me messages from origin Bob.
Is there any way I can make false messages and send them over?
False in what way?
Lie about a message and just send it over to like overload someone.
Yeah, I mean, you can send a ton of messages to people, and as long as you're signing them, like they'll at least be looked at.
Because I imagine if you just have a shit ton of validators and you're doing 9 maximum, 9 maximum per slot, right? Okay.
No, it's not per slot. So this is independent of slots. It's you're sending to 9 every iteration of the gossip loop, which I believe is, pretty sure it's every 7.5 seconds.
Okay. So it's not crazy. Okay.
Right, right.
Okay. So what's the gossip loop then?
So the gossip loop is basically read in all the messages you've received and then send out. So you're going to read in a bunch of messages. And so those messages could be, you know, pings or pongs. So they could be the response to pings you've sent out. They could be, you know, the pings themselves. And so now you have to then send a pong back. So this is more of the listen loop. You have to send the pongs back. You could receive a bunch of push messages. So now you have to read through those push messages and add the push messages that, or add the data in those push messages that you have not seen before into your, what we call, you know, a CRDS table or a cluster replicated data store. And so this is kind of the core table that sits within the gossip protocol that handles, you know, these 14 different message types. So if we need to go get a vote, we can actually read from the table and get those votes that we've received via push or pull response, for example. So that would be part of the listen loop is, you know, receiving push messages, adding them to our table on information we don't have. We also will send out, well, I guess that's not part of the listen loop, but we will end up sending out push messages. So forwarding them on, we will, you know, receive pull requests and then respond and send pull responses in that loop as well. There's also another part of that loop is deciding who to prune. So based on the messages you've received, how do I decide which nodes I am willing to prune because they're sending duplicate messages to me?
Can't nodes just, especially, I guess if they're low stake, it wouldn't really matter if you're high stake. Right. It depends if they're running like an Agave node or not, right? Actually, right. Identify if they're using a specific type of a client.
That's a good question. I'm trying to think if there's where the actual client naming comes in. Don't know off the top of my head, but I would assume yes, but I can't say for certain.
Because I'm just thinking, if every validator is using a different client that acts differently in, let's say, the gossip, then for Agave, you would follow it. For not Agave, you just wouldn't have to follow it, right? Like the gossip protocol.
Yeah. Right, yeah. So you have to implement the spec. So you have to implement those 6 message types, right? Ping, pong, push, prune, you know, pull response, pull request. But you don't have to. Yeah, yeah, exactly. You could choose whatever. I mean, you could choose one. You could choose, you know what, we're not going to pay attention to stake at all. And we're just going to pick 6, you know, peers to send to randomly. And I think that's actually what Syndica, they're working on a Zig client. And they've decided, you know, we're just going to send out randomly.
Why don't they just do a select, like predefined few ones then, and then switch them out when they're no longer pong back?
You could do that. Now, the problem is okay, what if I have a set 6 I want to send to, if I die, how do we know that those 6 are still going to be receiving messages? And the 6 I'm sending to, one of those, you know, any of those downstream ones, they also want to be receiving maybe other messages from other nodes because they don't know that I'm actually sending them valid data or withholding data from them. I have to send them signed data. So everything is signed so they can check to make sure that whoever said, you know, whoever said they created this message actually created it. But you kind of have to think about the, or these nodes, you know, for this protocol, have to pay attention to kind of the, how, if nodes are, you know, alive or dead and if they're, you know, adversarial or not. So we kind of want this constantly changing network of nodes or of, you know, message paths, basically.
Okay. How do you actually know if someone's being adversarial?
Ooh, good question. So one, like, I guess kind of the easiest way is, you know, the signature fails, the signature verification fails. So I can't send, you know, a message to Bob saying it's from you because Bob will just read the signature of the message and be like, well, these signatures don't match. So that obviously didn't come from Tagachi, basically. So that would be one way. Another way for gossip, if they're being, how would you know if they're being adversarial? Oh yeah, one would be they don't listen to prune messages. So I send them a prune and they just keep sending me messages. Now, it depends how you define adversary, because they could just be
a troll.
Yeah, right. It could just be a troll. Exactly. Exactly. So those would kind of be the two ways, you know, just, oh, spam. I mean, you could just spam, you know, validators with messages. You could do that, you know. So I don't know if there's like a good way to tell from the gossip protocol level, like, you know, what's, you know, who's good and who's bad.
Because it's just a propagation of votes. And what else can you propagate with the gossip stuff?
So there's versions, node instances. So like when you boot up, you create basically a new node instance. And so you send that out. You know, there are other things like, you know, restart heaviest fork. I'm going to be honest, I don't know what that is. But, you know, there are 14 different message types. A lot of them actually are, at least four of them are deprecated at this point, but we still support them as of now. So I think the ones, at least from what I'm looking at, it looks like 10 are still being used.
I wonder, what are like the security implications of gossip protocols? How can one actually be a detriment to the network, but also try and take advantage for themselves to take profit or something?
Yeah, so one way is you could try to partition the network. And so... and this goes back to kind of an Eclipse attack. Like if you can get a certain number of validators to basically prevent data from crossing, you know, a specific partition. So, you know, you get, you know, 100 validators syncing there voting on the main fork, but actually in reality, you know, there are 1,900 other validators that are, you know, running just fine. It is pretty hard to do due to the kind of ever-changing nature of the gossip protocol. So this is the idea of like constantly rotating who you're pushing to, who you're pulling from, things like that. It is pretty hard to do that. The other one would be, as we talked kind of at the beginning, is like these Eclipse attacks, which is, you know, related to partitioning. Those would be like, I think like kind of the one and a half ways to kind of act maliciously off the top of my head. Yeah.
I feel like if you're doing an Eclipse attack, why not send them just prunes instead of just nothing, or, you know, invalid, I guess, votes?
Because all a prune is the opposite direction. So
I just keep pushing like invalid votes then instead of nothing.
Yeah. I mean, well, you can't quite do that. Well, I mean, you can, but you can't send an invalid vote unless it's just from you. So like, you can send an invalid vote to me and I'll be like, oh, Tagachi's voted on, you know, this fork for this slot, you know, this block or whatever. But you can't create create votes from Bob and try to pass them off as Bob's, you know, because I'll basically, you know, do signature verification on that actual like vote and I'll realize, you know, Bob didn't create that.
And then as a result of that, would you just cut me off?
I don't believe there's any you know, implementation where if I see that you're sending me a bunch of bad data that I cut you off.
But I think it would have to be a custom one, right? Otherwise, the automation of that would be quite difficult if it's randomly rotated.
Right. Exactly. Granted, you know, since you run your own code, you know, you decide what actually gets run. So, you know, you can modify the code however you want to just, you know, send me as much data as possible. And so
if there's no like disincentivization, then I could realistically just spam everyone and send them invalid data all the time, and I'm not getting punished.
That's true. That's high cost to you, but yeah.
I guess what's the benefit of that, though, at the end of the day? If it's 7 seconds, every 7 seconds?
Yeah. Well, every 7 seconds, that's also an implementation detail. So you could change that, right? You could send it like every, you know.
Oh, I could straight up do it every millisecond.
Right. Yeah.
Okay. And then what would the benefit of that be? Just them having to compute it?
Yeah, I guess you just basically compute. You also have to, you're creating your own data. So yeah, you also, if you're low staked, so yes, I'd have to process the data, but as soon as my table fills up, I'm basically just dropping your data if you're low staked. So I talked about this like cluster replicated data store CRDS table that we have, which basically holds a bunch of information, you know, all these different message types and who we've received them from and things like that. Yeah. But there's a limit to that. And so once we hit the, you know, maximum size of the table, we start basically getting rid of the lowest stake messages. So if you're low staked, then you're going to be the first to get your information pruned, or I shouldn't say.
Okay. So what if I just send so much information that it fills up the thing and no one else can send it, and you're still going to prune all of mine, which is then just the whole thing, the whole table.
Right. Yes. That's a good question, because I wonder, actually, that's a good question. What I don't know off the top of my head is if the table size, if there's a maximum size for an individual. So there is a maximum size for a total table.
Multiple low stake validators, and just do that and then screw up their entire network.
Yeah.
Seems like a fun thing to do. Good meme.
Yeah, you may be able to do that. I don't know off the top of my head what, if there's any. Yeah. Well, you would only be affecting that validator, because if you're lower stake, then I would forward them, but it'd be more random. So it'd be really hard to like get that amplification level high enough.
Again, we can customize it where it's not random, and we can predefine the highest valid, and we can just spam them, first of all.
Correct. But they're going to, yes, like you could do that. It's going to cost you money to do it. And it's like, what is the incentive? I guess, yeah, you could try to take down the network. But the highest stake validators are then just going to propagate those messages, you know, randomly. So they're going to get distributed pretty evenly across the network.
But if they're false signing ones, and I'm spinning up and down new validators, different IPs each time, and every new validator is spamming them so the table's full. And if there's an individual cap, then we have like multiple values, right? We spin up and down different IPs. It just keeps on going. We fill up the table. The table's full, and now the network's kind of wrecked. It's like DDoS, basically.
That may be possible. That may be possible. Yeah.
You heard it here, folks. If you do a bug bounty, I want royalties.
Yeah, I have to think about that one. I think it is possible. I guess the cost of it is probably pretty high. I should look into that, actually.
Would it be high? Because if there's 2,000 validators, how much is a validator run? Like, I just spoke to someone that was like running it for fairly cheap, actually. I guess it depends on the benefit. But what is the benefit of doing that? DDoS the network, but what else?
Yeah, I don't know if you could DDoS a network. You could maybe DDoS a couple nodes, but...
Well, if the nodes are like the biggest validators on Solana...
Yeah, I mean, yeah, what's the like 33% threshold? How many validators is that? I don't know off the top of my head, but yeah, you could.
But there's like, what's the financial gain at that point? But what are future developments going into the Gossip protocol? What things are there to consider? What's stuff to optimize for?
Good question. So there are kind of two things I can think of, or maybe three things, but one of them is, how do we, like the network overhead is pretty high in Gossip. And as we add more validators, it just keeps increasing more and more. Cool. So we are looking at basically the one is the redundancy of the network. So like actually, you know, we know we have some built-in redundancy, but we don't know what that is right now. We've done some tests to get an idea, but we don't know, we don't have exact numbers. So one thought is, well, how can we actually reduce? First, we have to get the data, and then we have to figure out how can we actually reduce the number of redundancy or redundant messages while also thinking about, you know, making sure we're being resilient or resistant to malicious nodes, basically. So that's one of them. The other one, which is maybe a little farther off, but something we're thinking about now is, you know, as we grow, as you may have been able to tell, like the biggest concern is scale. Like how do we scale gossip? They don't typically scale very well. So the other one is, you know, this idea, I think, you know, Ethereum implements something similar to this, but this idea of subcommit. So this also ties into consensus as well. And I really can't speak to the consensus side of it, but, you know, for a certain slot, you know, instead of all 1800 or 2000, you know, validators voting on that specific slot, you have maybe 200 validators voting for that slot. And, you know, it's the same way, you know, leader schedules pre-computed, you know, a couple of epochs before, you would have committees pre-computed, you know, at some point before. So now when you're propagating votes and things like that, you don't need to propagate them to all 2000 nodes. You just need to propagate them to 200 nodes for that slot, right? Mm-hmm. And because votes are a huge, I think like 30% of the gossip overhead is votes. Yeah. So yeah, messages. Yeah, thanks. So that's another aspect that we're, or another area we're looking into. That's more, you know, that's obviously like a little more in depth and deals with a couple other components. But those are kind of the two big ones right now. We have, you know, we talked about, okay, we send to 9 different nodes at a time. We're trying to get more information on how nodes actually, or how messages propagate in terms of like how well they propagate. And so trying to build another thing that's on the horizon is like, okay, can we build a, you know, a better simulation of the gossip network so we can test these changes quickly and, you know, get, you know, good ideas of how they're going to perform, because it is, you know, it's a large distributed system and they fail for weird ways. And, you know, so we need to figure out like, okay, what's actually failing and why. And we need to do that, you know, in some test, you know, scenario as well. So working on building something out like that.
Interesting. Where do you actually see the future of gossip going? And Solana in general, both MEV and just general popularity and whatnot.
Yeah, I think for the gossip side of things, I think it's an interesting future for gossip. There are talks, you know, there's some scuttlebutt about like, okay, well, do we even need gossip? Like, can we build a turbine-like algorithm to take the place of gossip? That is because the scaling limits of gossip are hard to get around. Not impossible, we don't think, but, you know, they're harder. It requires some thinking. In terms of Solana in general, I mean, I don't know. Like I think it's been, you know, I joined, you know, Solana because I was dabbling in the crypto space and I was a grad student and it was the cheapest, fastest, you know, blockchain out there. And so I was just using it because I couldn't afford to pay for, you know, higher fees on other chains. So that was what kind of drew me to it. And I think like, you know, as long as we can keep it that way, like, yeah, I think, you know, the ecosystem's only going to grow, and you know, hopefully we get more, you know, developers working on it. And I think the payment stuff is really exciting, you know, being able to pay someone, you know, across the world instantly. Yeah, it's pretty cool. It was pretty cool.
Definitely. I really enjoy actually reading the validator. It's quite an interesting code base. Very big, but interesting.
Yeah. It takes a while, you know. I'm working through other parts of it now, trying to learn. So yeah, consensus being 100%. One of them.
Yeah, consensus I'm super interested in as well. Let me know when you get into that, or if you know anyone.
Yeah, we'll do.
Super we'll into do. Consensus and how that can relate to gossip and everything else. Consensus is quite interesting. Isn't that like the proof of history?
Yeah, proof of history. Yep. Yeah.
Got you. Yeah, very interesting.
Pretty cool. Yeah, yeah. It's like kind of like a, I don't know, when I first read about it, I was like, damn, it's like pretty cool to think about this and to have it work. I was like,
Based.
That was sweet. Oh. Yeah, for sure, for sure.
Very interesting. Where do you want to see yourself in the next year then? computing systems and you actually don't want it full time. So what do you want to see yourself end up in a year?
That's a good question. You know, I'd love to see myself still at Anza. I've really loved working for them and working with everybody. Everybody's been awesome. But yeah, like I really want to kind of dive into this, you know, subcommittee aspect of gossip. Like this is a really hard problem and it's going to require like coordination among multiple teams. And so I think like, you know, diving into that and really, you know, figuring out a way we can get this to work so we can scale it would be, you know, I'd love to, you know, be an integral part of that. And so we're working on that and hopefully we get some good results. And, you know, if as an ecosystem, you know, we decide, hey, Gossip doesn't need to exist, then, you know, then we'll go work on something else and we'll figure out the replacement for it. So, yeah.
Hell yeah. Well, man, I'm super excited to see how fast the rumor of Stacey getting kissed can be.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Once I hear the rumor, I'll come back. And
yeah, perfect.
Yeah, I'll come back to the original.
Yeah, yeah. And that's true. That's like really the best way to think about it. It's like it literally is just like normal gossip. And how do you do it efficiently? So, yeah.
Yeah, just go into some like schools, if you're in school, and go do some drama and test and prod them.
right.
And prod and observe them and build an algo. And then there you go. Yeah,
exactly.
This was based off my school cohort.
I love it.
But Greg, man, it's been a pleasure chatting. I've learned a lot from this chat of the gossip. And hopefully some people will gossip about this episode. So
yeah, hope so. Yeah, I appreciate your time. It's been great chatting.
Of course. It's a pleasure's all mine. Until next time, GNGN.